Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. I am here all by myself today, except for Frank in the background. Frank is the producer, of course, and Frank, he's the one who really pulls the strings. If you have any... if you like the program, you can credit me. And if you dislike the program, blame Frank. He's the one who's responsible. Before we get deeper into today's news, events, opinions, and commentary, here's the markets. Gold is up $1.10 to $1,386.70 an ounce. Gold, silver's up 22 cents to $22.01 per ounce. Platinum's up $3 to $1,511. Palladium is up 12. To $773. In the equities markets, Dow Jones is down 22 points to 15,226. NASDAQ is up 2.7. Did I say Dow Jones was down $22? It's down 22 points. NASDAQ is up 2.7 points to 3,472. New York Stock Exchange is up 6.36. points to 9,362, and U.S. dollar is down 0.03. That's not much, but it's at 81.66. Interesting, because just last week it was up as high as 84, and now it's down to 81.66, and even so, gold has not moved upward, may have moved downward. It's just one of those leaves in the breeze that suggests manipulation is taking place, and we may get, we may talk a little more about manipulation. Well, let's talk a little about it right now. One more thing in the market we want to mention. Gold, or crude oil, is down 35 cents per barrel to $95.68 per barrel. Talking about manipulation and suppressing the price of gold. Those of you who follow the price of gold and are perhaps invested in gold, have your savings, some are perhaps even all of your savings invested in gold, you are certainly aware of reports that the market is being intentionally manipulated in order to suppress the price of gold. These reports are not new. They have been circulating with great credibility for at least 5 years, and the price suppression schemes have probably been in effect for a decade or more. These suppression schemes do not normally mean that the price of gold has been held down throughout this decade, in the sense that it's been pushed lower and lower and into negative territory where it continually loses value. For most of the past decade, the price of gold has been up. As everyone knows, it's been a spectacular bull rush, a bull run, and gold has been up, 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 up until 20 months ago. In the last 20 months, we've seen gold lose a great deal of its price, and the people who look closely at this generally agree that the losses are due to market manipulation. In the past, when they manipulated the market, they kept gold from going as high as it might, but they still allowed gold to go up an average of 20% a year or thereabouts. Gold left to its own devices might have gone up 30%, 40%, 50% in a particular year, but the powers that be allowed gold to rise about 20% per year. And then, about 20 months ago, they've changed their mind and they have been holding the price of gold down and doing so in a way that's blatant, overt, and almost impossible to deny. When we see the price suppressed, now it is in negative territory, meaning they haven't allowed gold to rise by 20% per year. They have put it down, and down significantly. We've seen significant declines in the price of gold. So we can sit back and we can wonder, how long can this manipulation continue? How powerful are the powers that be? How capable are they of resisting the free market, suppressing the free market, denying what the real price of gold is? Can this proceed for an endless period of time? Or are there limits? In my opinion, there are limits. There have to be. You can't continue to suppress the price of gold and expect to do so successfully. And part of the reason is this. We've got silver down, for example, $22 an ounce. How far do you suppose you could suppress the price of silver before mining interests that produce silver, some percentage of them would be put out of business and forced to at least shut their doors until the price of silver rises to where it not only matches the costs of production, but also generates a profit for those mining companies. There is a point in time where you can't suppress the price of gold, you can't suppress the price of silver endlessly. And you can't suppress it below a reasonable price that most mining corporations can sell their metal and make a profit. And once they can't make a profit, they have to close their doors. So the point I'm trying to make is that we're going to approach a point, if we're not seeing it already, where the price of silver and gold can be suppressed to a point where miners stop producing the product. Now, there will always be some mines that are generating gold and always some that are generating silver, but those that are marginal in terms of profit, those will not succeed. Right? They can't continue. They have to be held. They have to be held at bay. Once that happens, what happens to the supply of gold? What happens to the supply of silver? And the answer is it has to be diminished. There's no question. If you keep knocking the price down, it's not simply true that you're going to have some impact on sales. You're absolutely going to have an impact on supply. As the supply diminishes, it will only create more pressure for the price to rise. It will be increasingly difficult for the miners to produce more gold. It will be increasingly difficult to find an adequate supply on the market. And what that will inevitably mean is the pressure to raise the price of gold and the price of silver will only increase. The point I'm trying to illustrate is that there are limits to how far they can push the price of gold. There are limits to how far they can push the price of silver downward before their efforts become counterproductive. And this is especially true in a world where they are working desperately to try to cause inflation. That's what quantitative easing 1 and 2 and 3 are all about. They're injecting $85 billion a month into the economy. And the purpose, they call it stimulation, but what it's really intended to do is to inflate the dollar and encourage people to spend more dollars. Get those dollars out of your pocket before they diminish in value. All right? Spend them. All right? Because they're losing value. And in theory, this will stimulate the economy. Well, you can't have inflation and not have the price of gold go up. I know they're trying to suppress the price of gold in order to maintain the illusion that the paper dollar has more value than is true. But if you want inflation, if that's what you need to stimulate the economy, you have to allow the price of gold and the price of silver to go up. Insofar as they go down, they're evidence of deflation. And deflation will not stimulate the economy. It will instead tend to slow things down because deflation, where the paper dollar appears to become more valuable, encourages people to save. In a period of deflation, we don't want to spend any of our greenbacks, right? We don't want to spend any of our Federal Reserve notes. And insofar as because we know that a week from now or a month from now or 6 months from now, whatever it is that we would like to buy today, will sell for less a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. That means if we save, we can get what we want at a lower price in a period of deflation when the dollar is becoming stronger and the prices of commodities and other goods and services are diminishing. As we save our money, that means we don't go out and buy something today. If we don't buy something today, if you don't buy anything and I don't buy anything and Melody Cedarstrom doesn't buy anything, it means somebody doesn't need to work today. It means the shops can send someone home. We won't need your help anymore. People become unemployed in periods of deflation because consumers refuse to spend with abandon. Inflation is where people get out there and they start spending with abandon. Buy anything they can find. Right? Government wants inflation, as we've said before on this program. They have to want it in order to diminish the total national debt. They have to have inflation. And it's not a new idea. They've been inflating the currency persistently throughout my lifetime. I mean, before I was born, gold was already $35 an ounce. In my lifetime, gold has gone up to $1,400, gone from $35 to $1,400 an ounce. That is an increase of 39 times as compared to the original price of $35 gold back up until, well, when I was born in 1945, but really on up and through 1971. That was the price that was officially maintained. Since they broke that, we have had inflation, 39 times in terms of gold. That's 3,900% in 42 years since 1971. That's an incredible track record. It is a trend that you cannot easily buck. You know, people say we've been in a gold bull market for the last 10 or 12 years. No, we've been in a gold bull market since 1971. It has its ups, it has its downs. Some of the downs are prolonged, but the truth of the matter is gold is up 3,900% as compared to its $35 an ounce price back in 1971. What I'm trying to illustrate is that inflation has been government's policy for as long as I've been alive. And it seems likely that it will continue to be government's policy, although for the last 20 months, they have diverted from that policy by reducing the price of gold and silver and, in theory, artificially increasing the value of the fiat dollar. Now, where this is going to go and how it's all going to work out is actually pretty clear. inevitably, the attempts to suppress the price of gold and silver are going to fall. They're going to fail. It's like a man who jumps off a cliff. You know, I live here in Oregon, and there's a place nearby called Hell's Canyon. And it's the second largest canyon in the world. It's second only to the Grand Canyon down in Arizona and so on. In terms of extent, and there's reportedly a place in that canyon, I haven't seen it, but I was told about it, where he can look out point, where he can look out over the edge of the canyon and see the river and the bottom of the canyon 1 vertical mile below where you're standing. Now, the reason I mention that to you is because you could jump off that observation point, and you could flap your arms. And a lot of people might even believe you were flying, and you might be able to put on one of those wing suits. You've probably seen them where you look a little bit like a flying squirrel. And you could head down into the canyon, and it would all look pretty cool. But the difference between flying and falling is the landing. You can look like you're flying when you are, in fact, crashing to the earth. And the difference, again, between flying and falling is the landing. And I think that observation applies to whatever's going on in the price of gold. We know that one way or another, the price of gold is going to land. And when it does, it's going to jump dramatically. What we don't know is how soon will the people, the powers that be, the guys wearing those flying squirrel suits, in the gold market, how soon before they hit the bottom? They're going to hit the bottom. This is going to reverse. It has to be. Price of gold has to increase dramatically, suddenly, amazingly. It has to happen, but the question, of course, is when? When is it going to happen? And no one, so far as I'm aware, knows. I don't doubt there are people in positions of power who have influence, and they may recognize that a day of reckoning is coming, and they may have a pretty good idea when that day of reckoning is coming. They might sit back and say, well, we can postpone it for 6 months or a year, or maybe even 18 months. But I believe they have to recognize that they're headed for the bottom of the canyon. And we're going to discover that the powers that be aren't flying, they are falling. That information is going to be made apparent to everyone, but not just yet. It may be undeniable a year from now or 2 years from now, but it's not undeniable today. So, when are we going to get it? I don't know. I can tell you that as fast as things are moving and as volatile and shameless as the powers that be are in manipulating the markets, it seems to me that they recognize they're on their last rations. They are just about out of energy. And I get a feeling, without evidence that I can give you in support, I get a feeling that we're going to see something extraordinary happen. Maybe not extraordinary, but we're going to see something significant happen to the price of gold within the next 60 days. That's a gut feeling. If I had to give you an intellectual assessment, I'd be inclined to say for sure before the end of this year. But I get a feeling that we are down at the bottom. We see evidence and evidence and evidence that suggests we are down at the bottom, just about as low as gold can go for any length of time and be sustained. And if that's correct, the time is quickly approaching when the price of gold and silver is going to increase dramatically. Can I prove it? No. Should you believe it? Not necessarily. But you ought to consider it. And if you look around, you might agree with me. I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival. We're going to take a break for a couple of moments, and we will be back shortly. Please stay tuned.
stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here at Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Today's special from Discount Gold and Silver, you can get one Mint State 63, $20 Liberty, for $1,950, and the price includes shipping and insurance costs. Now, most of you probably know the Mint State 63, $20 Liberty coins combine true scarcity, large gold content, that would be almost 1 ounce, and moderate price. Minted from 1886 to 1907, these coins were crucial building blocks of expanding the U.S. financial markets in the early 19th and 20th century. Only a small fraction of the original mintage survives today in Mint State 63 condition, yet they're remarkably affordable in the current market. Again, one Mint State 63, $20 Liberty, that's 1 ounce, just a shade under 1 ounce of gold for $1,950. Includes shipping costs. Give them a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We've got, I think, one of the biggest news stories right now is the exposure of telephone surveillance by the National Security Agency. Here's one article that touches on it. Now we are all persons of interest. Patriot Act author slams surveillance as excessive and un-American. And this is a Patriot Act author. That's pretty interesting. I mean, the people who help author these crazy things, they realize they've gone too far. Here's some of the article. It says, we now have disclosure that under a secret program codenamed PRISM, the National Security Agency and FBI are tapping directly into 9 internet giants, including Google, Facebook, Apple, and YouTube, along with AT&T, Sprint, and God knows who else. Verizon, of course, was prominently featured in earlier reports. I think originally this was the big disclosure, tens of millions of phone calls, and customers for Verizon were having their phone calls monitored. They claim they're only collecting metadata to see who you call, how long you talk to them, where they're located, where you're located. They don't listen to the phone calls. That's their claim. But the truth of the matter is, if you know who's talking to who, you know to significant degree what's being said. For example, if I'm going to call the 900 Spirit hotline, to get prophecy on what's coming next, you can make an assessment. If I'm calling them, you know what I'm talking about. If I'm calling some phone sex operation, you have a good idea. You know that's what I'm talking about. It's the same thing with certain people. Over time, you can figure out what particular individuals, you can learn from other sources what particular individuals are talking about. For example, if you were going to call me on the phone, I'm sure the government has a pretty good idea of what we would be talking about. And it probably wouldn't be whether or not the Cowboys will make it to the Super Bowl this year. That's probably not going to be one of our topics. Our topic will probably have something to do with the law, perhaps with economics, something to do with dissident activity. And the government can tell if you're calling me, they know. Oh, better watch that guy. He's calling Al Addis. So their claims that they don't intrude on the content of the phone calls may or may not be true, but even if they are, they're not necessarily relevant. They're not necessarily significant. In any case, what can we do about it? Well, let me read a little more of the article, and we'll talk about what might be done. For many, all these Orwellian revelations are in equal part deeply troubling, and in the post-privacy world of the Patriot Act, wholly unsurprising. Former National Security Agency employee and famed whistleblower Thomas Drake feels the deja vu revelations simply show, quote, this sort of surveillance has become routine and institutionalized. And the rude pundit arguing, quote, no president is going to give back powers that were granted to George W. Bush in 2001. Likewise says the boat has sailed on our lost privacy. Do you think that's true? Do you think there's nothing we can do about our lost privacy? Are we helpless and the government is simply going to listen to our phone calls or at least to the metadata? And I guarantee you, if they're only collecting metadata now, I guarantee you they will be listening to the phone calls in the future. So is it true that the boat has sailed on all that lost privacy? Nothing we can do? And I think the answer is no. I think there's a lot that we can do if we care to do it. For example, how many people have telephone subscriptions? They have they get telephone service from Verizon. What would happen if a significant movement started up where everyone who had Verizon, or a significant number of the people who had Verizon as their phone service provider, they just said, I quit. I'm going to find another corporation to do business with. I'll find another telephone service provider, and we will learn from, and I'll do business with them. How many people do you think would have to bail out of Verizon before Verizon absolutely got the message and was forced to choose whether they were going to make a profit or perhaps even be put out of business, or if they wanted to continue to help the government to spy on their customers? It's all about the money in the final analysis. The government says it's all about terrorists and national security, but it's really all about, what it's really about is the money and government security. And if you can afflict these people who are spying on you and take a bite out of their profits, I guarantee they'll pay attention to you. If you stand up and argue for freedom and rights and a bunch of other things, they may not pay any attention at all unless there's an enormous outcry. Then they will at least give us lip service. But if you can attack them where their wallet is located, you're going to get their attention. And therefore, it's not true that the boat has sailed on our lost privacy. It could be regained if we wanted to do something as simple as say, look, I'm not going to do business with those companies and corporations that do business that help the government spy on us. Go after Verizon. Stop doing business with Verizon. I guarantee if they saw a significant decline, they'd get the message, and so would all the other corporations that are involved in this. It's hard to say how far this goes. I don't think it's sensible to try to remove your business from everybody. They've got Google and Facebook and Apple and YouTube and AT&T, Sprint and Verizon. And again, as the article says, God knows who else. But you can throw a scare into them by simply withdrawing and say, look, I don't want services from people that spy on me. It'll cost them money and see if you can't regain your privacy. I think you probably can. Here's another article that deals with the surveillance and this privacy issue, at least indirectly. This is from the New York Times, and it's ex-worker at CIA says he leaked data on surveillance. 29-year-old former CIA computer technician went public on Sunday as the source behind the daily drumbeat of disclosures about the nation's surveillance programs, saying he took the extraordinary step because, quote, the public needs to decide whether these programs and policies are right or wrong. The public needs to decide, not the government. Government doesn't need to make an arbitrary decision, sit there, oh, this is for national security. Let me tell you something. Every time they claim they're doing something for national security, what they mean is they're doing something for government security. I doubt that our government has done anything for the security of this nation that you can mention in recent times. I know that they're building better bombers and missiles and one thing and another. In theory, that may help our national security. But if they're really concerned about national security, why is it they haven't sealed the border? Why is it that they are preparing to grant amnesty to perhaps as many as 20 million illegal aliens? Why is it that the illegal aliens were allowed to invade this country in the first place if our government gives a damn about national security? Why, if they were concerned about national security, did they send our industries and jobs off, at least significant proportion of them, to third world countries under the guise of global free trade? Every time they mention national security, they are lying. They mean government security. And who do they mean government security from? Who are they afraid of? Are they afraid of the Russians? Are they afraid of the Chinese? Or are they afraid of you and me? I will bet you that the people in Russia and the people in China, if they care to look and see, they know more about how this country operates than most of us do. In part because our country doesn't care what they know. The United States government doesn't really worry about what they know in China, what they know in Russia, wherever. It's not a big thing. And not all that important. What they care about is you people. They don't want you to find out because they know that the essence of the relationship between people and their government is always adversarial. Government is never here to help you. Now, they'll tell you that. They're not here to help you. It's a lie. They are here to tax you. They are here to control you. They are here perhaps to oppress you. But they're not here to help you. Name an instance in the last 20 years when government has done anything to increase our rights. Name an instance in the last 20 years when the government has done anything to increase our economic viability. Now, some people sit back, well, they're doing QE3 and QE and so on. They're injecting $85 billion. Where's that $85 billion coming from? $85 billion per month, dollars. Where does it come from? Ultimately, it's a debt that's going to be left to you and your children. We are borrowing from our children and from our grandchildren, and that's assuming the debt will ever be paid. We're borrowing from them in order to maintain the illusion that this country is solid and this country is productive, and this country will be prosperous. And it's based on what they call economic quantitative easing, economic stimulation. It's based on inflation. It's based on going deeper into debt. It's based on relying on our children to support us and putting our children and our grandchildren so deeply in debt that unless they just flat out refuse to pay the debt, they will never get out of debt. They will live as bond servants, debt slaves for virtually all of their life. Now, how can that be true if we have a government that's actually here to serve and protect us? If we have a government that's here to help us? They're not helping us. The biggest threat to this people, the American people, is and has always been our own government. They're the principal enemy. They're going to say, oh my gosh, the terrorists are coming. We've got to do something to stop the terrorists. And that means we're going to strip you people of your rights, and we're going to spy on you, and because we're protecting you from the terrorists. And it's a bunch of crap. By and large, the only people that the terrorists might want to bomb, assuming they want to bomb anybody, is the people in our government. The government, insofar as they're working against terrorists, they're working to cover their own butts. They're not worried about you and me. They don't care if we get shot, bombed, or whatever. Government's not helping us. Doesn't give a damn about us, except insofar as it can keep a lid on us and keep us ignorant. But they have a problem. Here's this guy, 29-year-old former CIA computer technician. All right? By the name of, what is his name? I want to make sure that I've got this. I don't see it right now. Edward Joseph Snowden. Huh? 29-year-old computer technician. Huh? This is amazing. We're not talking about a guy who's 60 years old and has risen to the top of the National Security Agency or any other major corporation. We're talking about a 29-year-old computer technician. How many 29-year-old computer technicians do you suppose there are working for the government right now? How many do you suppose there are there that are 26 years old and 22 years old and 35 years old, and they're still essentially kids, and yet they're in positions to have access to enormous sums or quantities of data, huh, which they are capable of releasing to the public? Now, how are you going to keep a lid on all of the computer technicians that work for the government? Here's another part of this article, and it says, then the United States must set up a strategy for prosecuting a man who many will see as a hero for provoking the debate that President Obama himself has said that he welcomes amid already fierce criticism of the administration's crackdown on leaks. The court-martial of Private Bradley Manning, who released vast archives of military and diplomatic materials to WikiLeaks, resumes on Monday. Now, this is a private PFC, private first class, Bradley Manning, right, who released a vast archive of military and diplomatic materials to WikiLeaks. His trial resumes on Monday. And here's this guy, Snowden. In many regards, he is similar to private first class Bradley Manning in that he's not a high-level official. The access to data, when government accumulates masses of data, inevitably that data is accessible by masses of government employees. They have computer technicians. They have PFCs that handle this stuff. And when they do, they have to be able to trust these people, and the government can't trust them. And the result is we put together an extraordinary system of to spy on the people, and the system is vulnerable to the very spies that the government employs. There's a great irony in this. There's a great blessing in this. There's cause for celebration in this. I'm Alfred Addis here in Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Don't forget today's special, 1 MS-63 $20 Liberty for $1,950. The price includes shipping, $1,950 for 1 MS-63 $20 Liberty. Give Carl a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Talking about surveillance. All right, and the government's secrecy and their desire to spy on us. Now, here's an interesting, this strikes me as interesting. Government says secret court opinion on law underlying PRISM, that was one of the big spy projects that has recently been revealed. Government says secret court opinion on law underlying PRISM program needs to stay secret. In a rare public filing, in the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the Justice Department today urged continued secrecy of a 2011 Foreign Intelligence Service Surveillance Court opinion that found the National Security Agency's surveillance to be unconstitutional. Similarly, the surveillance issue was carried out under the same controversial legal authority that underlies the National Security Agency's recently revealed PRISM program. What they're trying, and this language is confused and convoluted, but what they're saying is there is one, a secret foreign intelligence surveillance court. That's point one. And when the government wants to do something to spy, they go to this secret court, and the secret court routinely grants them whatever it is they're looking for. In this particular instance in 2011, the government's need to spy was rejected by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Now, since then, there have been efforts to get that decision where we could read it. We want to see it. And the government says, no, it's too secret. You can't find out whatever it was that was that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court rejected. Why did they rule against the government? And we're not allowed to know that. Because if we did, we'd be able to do things and craft our own, behave in our own lives in ways that would make it more difficult for the government to spy on us. Now, why does the government need to spy on us in the first place? Why does it need to be secret from all of us? Why does what they're doing have to be secret? The government says, no, even though we lost the case, we don't want that opinion revealed to the public. Well, first, before we get to the why on it, let's talk about a fundamental principle in law. Ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. Right? Fundamental principle. You can't walk into court and say, well, golly, I had no idea that we were supposed to fasten our seatbelts. I'd never read that. I hadn't heard that. And the judge is going to say, well, it doesn't matter. You still have to obey the law. Even if you're ignorant of the law, you are bound by the law. Ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. And part of the reason is that when government passes a law, it's made available on the public record, and it is presumed that all of us have access to the public record of all the laws that are being enacted by Washington, and that through some miracle, we've read it. There isn't any congressman who've read the entire Obamacare Act, yet you and I will be bound under the presumption that ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. Well, if ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law, how can government conceal court decisions? Doesn't that contribute to our ignorance? Doesn't it compel us to be ignorant? And if we are ignorant, not through our own fault, but through the fault of government secrecy, if we are ignorant, doesn't that provide us with a line of defense where we can say, look, I can't be held liable for this. I don't know about this law. I can't know. They routinely suppress it. They routinely conceal it. They want to be able to run the government based on a system of laws that we, the people, can't see or know about. If ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law, how can that be true when the government maintains? They work to maintain our ignorance. The other question that we want to talk about, why does government want you ignorant? Why do they want me ignorant? I could understand if they had passed a law that said, well, we want to keep the spies, the illegal aliens, the terrorists, we want to keep them ignorant. All right, I can kind of see that. I don't know how you'd implement it. And neither does the government. So what the government does is say, well, we're going to have to keep everybody ignorant. All of you people are going to have to stay fat, dumb, and happy. You see? And government will be able to take advantage of your ignorance. Government will be able to exploit your ignorance, my ignorance, based on government's presumption that by keeping all of us dumb, they can keep the terrorists dumb. And I find that unlikely, because if the terrorists want to know things, I don't doubt they can find them out a lot. I mean, more so than the average American. But the larger point from my perspective is this. The government wants you ignorant because the government sees you as more than a person of interest. They see you and me as adversaries. They understand, government understands, that its relationship to the public is adversarial. The people don't. Most people are inclined to believe the government is here to help us. Now, they believe that because they've never taken the time to look at the political situation. They haven't looked at history. They don't understand fundamental principles. It's a lot more comfortable to believe the government is here to help us than it is to believe that these government agents, they are actually here to ruin this country. We don't want to believe that. It's an uncomfortable, it's a radical thought. If people say that's hyperbolic, that can't possibly be true. So we stay away from the idea, but the idea is true. It goes to the heart of our Constitution. It's the reason we have three branches of government and checks and balances and elections every 2 years and the right to keep and bear arms and the right to speak freely in public, as I'm doing on this program right now. All of these are intended to protect us from government. The founders understood that government was, as George Washington said, it was at best a dangerous servant. He compared it to fire. He said, government like fire is a dangerous servant or a fearful master. The best you're going to get is a dangerous servant. And you need to know that. You need to embrace that idea if you're going to restore any freedom or liberty in this country. People who trust the government are stupid. It's un-American to trust the government. Un-American. If being a good American means living in harmony with the principles found in the Constitution of the United States, and insofar as that Constitution is the only truly anti-government Constitution the world's probably ever seen, with its checks and balances, the right to keep and bear arms, free speech, freedom of the press, try to keep people informed of the crimes that are being routinely committed against you by your own government. The underlying principle of the Constitution was to protect us against our government. And the underlying principle has to be that you shouldn't trust these people as far as you can throw them. And if a good American is one who lives in harmony with the principles of the Constitution, then a good American is a man or woman who absolutely distrusts the government and will not be deceived by the crap that they're here to help us. They are not. They're here to help themselves. They're here to protect themselves. And this is the reason, ultimately, they say, oh, we can't tell you what's going on or the terrorists might find out. I don't think they give a damn what the terrorists find out. What they're concerned about is you and me. They understand that we, not the terrorists, you and I, are the principal threats to the government of the United States. We're the ones that can actually take them down. And not with bombs and bullets, but with public awareness and political activity. We can stop these guys. And they understand probably better than we do just how fed up we are with all the jackasses in Washington, D.C., and our various state capitals, and our various municipalities who see government as nothing but a damn racket and an opportunity to get rich at the public's expense. We don't like the government. And when I say we, I don't mean me and the mouse in my pocket. I mean me and probably 50, 60, maybe 100 million other people. We don't like it. We've seen two studies that we talked about on this program earlier, well, about 2 weeks ago, maybe three. One study indicated that approximately a third of the American people fear the government more than they fear terrorists. And I think that's a completely rational position. We've got another study that came out, and now they didn't deal with fear. It was distrust. Again, about the same number. A third of the people don't trust this government. They don't. Right? And rightfully so. How are we in our current financial circumstance? How is it that we've reached a point where this nation could be destroyed except by the fact that we've been dumb enough to trust the government and the government has routinely betrayed that trust? We're going to see some trouble in this country in the next several years unlike anything seen probably since the Civil War. It will probably dwarf the trouble that we saw during the Great Depression, and will quite possibly rival what was seen during the American Civil War. And we're going to see it because we the people have been dumb enough to trust the government, and the government has taken advantage of that trust to run this nation into the ground. As people like myself and most of the people listening to this program have embraced this idea and become familiar with this awareness, government, I'm sure, they understand how many of us are out here. You and I think we are largely operating alone. And right now we are at least an enormous plurality in this country. And the time is fast approaching where we may become, if we aren't already, of a significant majority. We don't like the government, we don't trust the government, and government knows it. So government wants to know, what are all you people doing out there? They understand you and recognize you as adversaries, and they come up with some crap that we aren't going to let you know what's going on in order to protect you from the terrorists, but the truth of the matter is we have far more to fear from our own government than we do from any damn terrorists. We can deal with the terrorists, right? We cannot deal with treasonous whores in the cat house on the Potomac. And that's what's happening in this country. We are being largely destroyed by our own government. And the government is aware that we are increasingly aware that that observation is approximately true. The government fears us and therefore subjects us to surveillance because they know we are the principal enemies of the government of the United States. If we ever get organized, if we ever break loose, these people in government are going to have to go back to working for a living. Many of them will lose their jobs. Many of them will lose their pensions. All of them are being overpaid, or the vast majority, at least at the federal level, are being estimated to be their pay is estimated, study by, I don't know if it was the Pew organization or not, indicates they're being paid double what they could make in private sector. That means they've got twice the house they could afford if they were working in the private sector. They've got twice the car that they could afford if they were working in the private sector. And if anything happens to deprive them of their cushy job in government where they are overpaid by 100% every year, if anything happened to that job, what would happen to their house? What would happen to the car? How long will the wife and the kids stay with him once daddy loses his cushy job with the government? Their world will fall apart if they have to go back to earning only, being paid only what they earn. Their world will collapse. They have a personal vested interest in supporting big government just to make sure they can hang on to their McMansions. And we, conversely, have a personal interest in reining government in part just to get the tax junkies off our back, and perhaps reach a point where we might be able to buy a McMansion of our own based on what we earned, not what we hustled, what we earned. So, where's the world headed right now? Well, I know government wants more surveillance, but I think they're running out of Schlitz. I think it's just another illustration of how vulnerable government is right now. What I see in the gold market, in the commodities market, I think they have come close to the end of the line in terms of manipulation. And what I see in the surveillance, I think they're coming close to a significant reaction, adverse reaction from the public. I think we are all coming close to a moment this year when we're going to see some radical changes in our government. I'm Alfred Addisk. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Roger Sales. In the meantime, thank you. God bless each and every one of you and me and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.